Hey guys, Warren Williams here from warrenwilliamscoaching.com. So today's talk, we're going to be talking about conscious stages of growth. And this episode, I think, is very poignant because, you know, you look at the world today and, you know, you see a lot of people that are unconsciously doing things in a negative way, such as children that are being murdered by their parents. That's an unconscious habit. Or, you know, certain adults that go into a department store and kill, you know, 50 people. That's unconscious. People that do drugs, people that are, you know, drinking, you know, alcoholic. These are all unconscious habits. So today we find a lot of people doing a lot of unconscious things. So that's why I kind of wanted to talk about this today, to kind of help to bring that awareness, because we know we're at a stage where, you know, we need a paradigm shift, where the consciousness of the planet needs to change and to raise itself back to the level that it once was before we got into this level of unconscious habits. So that's what today's talk is about. So without further ado, I'm gonna allow you guys to sit with me and to enjoy with me, and I'm so thankful for your time. Hey guys, so it's Warren Williams here. So we're starting another session on the Whole Being Health podcast. Thank you once again for joining me. So today's talk, we're going to be talking about conscious stages of growth. So what we see today is every human being, by definition, has a psyche. And the psyche, by definition, is everything that you are that cannot be weighed or measured. So you may think, well, what does that mean? Well, you know, obviously you can weigh yourself physically. You have physical arms and legs and, you know, heart, lungs, you know, these are all physical components that can be weighed on the weighing scale. But they are the hardware. So I always say to people, you know, we are made up of hardware and software. So the hardware is the physical you, the components of you. But the software is the emotional, psychic, and conscious you. That's the part of you that can be weighed or measured. So everything that you are is the physical, but everything that you are that cannot be weighed is the emotional, psychic, and conscious part of you. So as an example, you know love exists. If you've ever had a child or seen a child born or seen something incredibly beautiful in nature, or, you know, you have love for your parents and so on, that love cannot be weighed or measured, but it's real. So that's just an example. Hate is another powerful energy that exists, but it cannot be weighed or measured physically, but it's real. So that's just an example of parts of the psyche that you are. Your characteristics, who you are, these are all things that cannot be weighed or measured, but they are part of you. So I'll say it again now. So the psyche is everything that you are that cannot be weighed or measured. So when it comes to conscious stages of awareness, before we actually get into the subject, I'd like to just explain the four stages of conscious awareness. So we have unconscious incompetence. You may have heard me talk about this before. So unconscious incompetence, the example I always like to use is someone who's a smoker, who unconsciously is smoking. So that means they are not even considering the fact that smoking kills. And they are unconsciously doing a habit that is detrimental to them. Another example could be somebody who trains, and they're doing weight training, and they do it with incredibly poor technique to the point where they're causing themselves injury, but they're so unconscious of the fact that it's stemming from their exercise technique. And then the second stage of conscious awareness is now conscious incompetence. So you're still doing the same thing badly, but now it's been brought to your attention, or you've gotten to the point where you actually think, you know what, I may have to make some changes in my life. So now you've gotten, but you're still doing those things, but you're just getting to the point where you're consciously aware of the fact that these things are damaging you. Then the third stage is conscious competence. It has to be conscious because you have to constantly keep thinking about the progressively positive habit that you are trying to do daily. So if it's training, you may need a spotter or someone, a personal trainer, or, you know, someone who has really good technique, who's able to constantly keep correcting you because you can't unconsciously do it yourself. And, you know, for the smoker, again, it would be somebody who's actually, you know, they're doing the Nicorette patches, or they've moved to a vaporizer, or, you know, they've stopped the habit of smoking, but they have to constantly keep thinking about the idea to keep the action going. And then the fourth stage of conscious awareness is unconscious competence, because they no longer need to think about the action, it already happens. So those are the four stages of conscious awareness. Now, in today's society, you see a lot of people that are unconscious with a lot of their choices. So as an example, when you see a lot of people that are obese, that is an unconscious habit of somebody who's eaten and is not even present with the fact that it's killing them slowly. So that's on an unconscious level of awareness. So you see people that are smoking, you see people that are drinking, and sometimes you say to them, how many times do you smoke a day? A lot of people wouldn't actually even be aware. And even the ones that say, oh, I smoke 10 a day, and it is actually 10 a day, they're not actually consciously aware of it, because if they actually thought about it, they'd actually be like, oh my gosh, that is terrible. But when they say, oh, 10 a day, it's still unconscious. They are aware of the number, but they're not really aware of it. It's unconscious competence. It's unconscious awareness. Because if they brought it to the conscious point where they really thought about it, they wouldn't do the habit. So they are unconscious. And then you have those people that are so unconscious, they don't even know they're smoking 10 a day. It doesn't really matter which one they're at. They're still not moving forward to a stage of conscious competence. So they're still doing an unconscious habit. And, you know, you see certain people that every time they get nervous, they may eat chocolate. They're not even consciously aware that they're doing that. It's just so unconscious that they're doing it. They don't think about it, aren't aware of it. And, you know, they continue doing the habit. Or, you know, people that, you know, spend 4 or 5 hours every single day watching TV. And a lot of the TV they're watching is mindless, just junk, trash TV. But they're unconsciously doing it. If you actually pull them to one side and said, you know, you're actually watching 5 hours of unproductive TV every single day, you're just consuming, you're not actually creating anything in your life when you do that, they wouldn't even be aware of the concept because it's so unconscious. Or people that unconsciously, this is a really good one, and this is most of the Western world, so many people that unconsciously breathe with poor patterns. Most people in the Western world breathe in an inverted pattern, which basically means they breathe up into their chest and neck, where they're supposed to breathe from their diaphragm first. So that's an unconscious, incompetent breathing pattern they are not even aware of. You have a lot of people that unconsciously make poor choices, such as people that are in relationships. And they're in a terrible relationship, but they're unconscious of the fact that they're in a terrible relationship. And their friends keep telling them, and it's almost like when their friends tell them, the person that they're telling has a vacant look in their face. Like, I haven't got a clue what you're talking about here. My relationship's fine. And then maybe 10 years down the line, they break up with a person when they get to the stage of conscious awareness, and they say, you know, I wish I'd listened to you 10 years ago. But at that point, 10 years in the past, they were unconscious until they got 10 years into the future and now are conscious and regret the choice. So that's another unconscious habit. And then with that same example, you have certain men and women that basically date the same person with a different face. The same person and relationship that they despise, they still keep doing, because it's an unconscious habit. So again, that's enough examples. I know you guys kind of get my points here on this and what, you know, unconscious reality means in every single day, everyday life. So, like I said, a lot of this programming is embedded into our psyche, and a lot of it comes from environment, and a lot of it comes from parental programming, and a lot of it comes from schooling, because most of our education comes from schooling. Now, the problem starts with school for this reason. Children are taught what to think, not how to think. Now you may think, well, what does that mean? So a child is taught, and I'm going to give you this as an example of things that are wrong. A child is taught generally, fat is bad for you. So they're taught what to think. They are taught, fat is bad for you, don't think about it. Fat is bad for you. And we know, when you see people grow up, and then, you know, this mainly affects women. you know, women are so scared of fat. So you have today in those children that were taught fat is bad for you. They don't question it. And when they grow up, that's part of their psyche. They're part of their conscious awareness. And then they avoid fat for the rest of their life. For the rest of their life. Not every single one, but a lot of them avoid fat for the rest of their life. That's an unconscious, incompetent thought process that was created through their education. Another example with women, again, is, you know, women thinking that weight training is bad for women. It makes women look like He-Man. That is so wrong, but it's so unconsciously embedded in their psyche that they still go through their whole life just doing cardio, thinking that weight training is bad for them. And I'll use men now just to make it fair. I'll use men as an example. Men grow up thinking through their education as a child that all they have to do is work their chest and their biceps to look good. But yet, how many years has it taken for a man to figure out that women always say, "Where's your legs? Where's your legs? Why don't you train your legs? If you trained your legs and were in more proportion, you'd actually look better." So men are so aware of that on an unconscious level because women always say that. But yet they still unconsciously are doing the incompetent habit of being upper body dominant and front of the body dominant, which means they're only working their chest and their biceps, or their six pack and chest and their biceps. But yet women keep saying to them, "Why don't you work your legs?" So that's another example through education in their younger years that trails over into their later years where they still keep making the same unconscious habit. So going back to the statement that children are taught what to think, not how to think. When you are just taught what to think, you don't make any different choices other than the choices you were given in the early stages of your programming. So this goes back to religion now. You have a lot of people, a lot of children, where an example would be, let's say your mother and father are Christians. You grow up as a Christian. And when you are unconscious, you do not question Christianity at all. You don't go and study any other religion to see whether your parents were wrong or whether you should make a better or different choice. You just stick in the same religion and then you have children and they do the exact same thing. So you can have generations of people that are just raised as Christians and they never ever question the Bible. That's an unconscious habit. I'm not saying right now that the Bible is bad. What I'm saying with this example is that they don't even question the Bible because it's an unconscious program that they just follow for the rest of their life. As the same can be said for Islam and the same can be said for Judaism. It's programming that they were taught what to think. So using a religious example again, when they go to school, when they go to their Bible studies, they are taught God did this, God said that, these are the Ten Commandments, these are the 613 commandments if you go into Judaism in the Old Testament. These are the laws when it comes to Islam. But that's what they're taught. They're taught what to think. God said you must pray this way. Allah says you must do 5 prayers a day. Yahweh or Jehovah says you must pray this amount of times a day. So that's what to think. But they don't question it, so they don't realize that they have a how to think. When you have a how to think, you question things. Because the only way you can have a how is you actually question. So if I say to you, you should eat organic food, and you just eat it, that's because you're being taught what to think. But if I say, you should eat organic food, and you say, well, why? And then I explain, then you're figuring out the why to the question, and that creates a how awareness. So it means now you know how to think because you know the best way to think is through questioning things. So that's learning how to think. It's like if you're trying to find, like you're, let's say you're lost somewhere. You know, your sat nav broke down. You're trying to drive to Manchester. You know, you're lost. And you sit down and you try to figure out, how am I going to get to Manchester? My sat nav's broken. Now you're trying to problem solve and you're questioning. So bringing about the questioning allows you to create the how to the question. So it's important that you learn how to think, not what to think. Because like I said, what to think is a program. How to think is awareness. Because how to think is you questioning things to create a result that is favorable to your question. So see, you see, the problem with another problem with how with what to think is it really depends on who's teaching you. So if the people that are teaching you have a low level of awareness and you're just following them, then you become someone who has a low level of awareness. And the reason why is because you can't lead people any further than you can lead yourself. So you have today a lot of people that are poor, and I say poor, I mean poor mentalities, that are giving other people advice. That's like the sick teaching the sick. And if you wanted to become healthy, you wouldn't study sick people, would you? But that's what the medical profession is doing as an example. They study the sick to try to find health. If you want to study, if you want people to be healthy, study healthy people and figure out what they're doing. That's an example of how to think. So if the world is at a stage of conscious incompetence in general, and these are the people that are teaching us, and these are the people that are the leaders, such as politicians and prime ministers and all these sort of people, but yet they are unconsciously incompetent because they're giving you all these bad information, such as in school, everybody, you know, eats, you know, avoids fat as an example, or all the children grow up in junk food as an example, or all the religious people in the world are the leaders that people are aspiring to become. These are all levels of unconscious incompetence that are being trailed throughout the world. So if people that aren't evolved are teaching people that aren't evolved, then where do you think the world goes? Into a state of unevolvement or unconsciousness. So hopefully that makes sense, guys. So, you know, we really have to move beyond this level of what to think, and we have to move to the level of questioning, because the question allows us how to think. So we've spoken about the four stages of conscious awareness. Once you get to a stage of conscious awareness in all things, you can grow and learn to participate in every choice and relationship that you make. You see, when it comes to participation, this is a key factor when it comes into conscious awareness, because you can't participate in any choice unless you have made that choice. And when it comes to the ability to participate in your own life, what you see is a lot of people that do not participate because they make unhealthy choices, such as people that smoke, people that drink, and people that overeat. They are not participating in their own life. And because of that, their life is not where they want it to be. And with that, you have people that find excuses not to participate in their life. And the reason why is because most of the time we fear change. And the only absolute in the universe is change. But it's the one thing that most people in the Western world are fearful of. Because what I found from my own experience is most people would rather, and I've seen studies on this as well, would rather die than change their lifestyle. Because they fear change, because they think if they change their habits, they are changing themselves. And I always say to people, you are not changing yourself. You are only changing what the self does. So you still are, in essence, you. But most people find excuses not to participate in their own life, which is why most people love the medical system. Because they can continue to participate in the bad choices and lifestyle habits that are making them sick and go to the hospital or go to their GP and get a drug. And the drug reduces the pain or the issue, which allows the person to continue to participate in the unhealthy habits that created the problem in the first place. So that's why I say most people find excuses not to participate in their own life. And when faced with the need to change, one of two things happen. People either grow or they go further into denial. Because they have to, because once they've been shown the truth, the only thing they can do is change and grow, or to ignore it even harder, which means to go into a higher stage of denial, or shall I say a lower stage of denial. And this denial is a trait of someone who's addicted. So that would be an example of somebody who's, you know, a family member is, you know, addicted to alcohol. And let's say, just to make it easier to explain this, let's say Bob is the alcoholic and his wife, Jean, is, you know, been trying to get him to stop for years. And then one day she takes him to see someone who's in hospital who, you know, they've had their liver taken out, or not living that, be dead, but, you know, they've had a lot of their liver cut out, you know, they're on an intravenous drip, you know, they look sick, they look 40 years older than they are, as an example. And this addict tells Bob all of his sorrowful stories and how he wishes he'd listened to other people earlier, but it's too late now because he's already gone too far and he's going to be dead soon. So then, you know, Gene's hoping that Bob will change. And if Bob, the alcoholic, doesn't change from seeing that, because he's now seen the truth of what his life will become if he continues to participate in this choice, if he hasn't changed from that reality, the only way that can happen is if he goes further into denial. And like I said, that's the action of an addict. And an addict doesn't just mean addicted to a drug. It could be an addict to, or addicted to, habit patterns. So, you know, we have to learn this and understand that change is growth. It's not fear. It's not I am changing for the worse. It's always for the better when you come to a level of conscious awareness. So, you know, fear signals are there to force people to change and to shift through this awareness. So, you know, a lot of people say the brain is hardwired to survive, and that triggers fear, because if you're about to get hunted by a lion, you have to have these fear signals that make an immediate reaction or awareness to move out of the way. So that's an awareness. But that happens in daily life through doing things that are bad. We have these fear signals that are supposed to make us shift to a positive change. But most people are so fearful of that change because they think they're changing themselves, as I said. And what happens here with the psyche is that the psyche has a shadow element. And the shadow element is the side of us that we bring out whenever we fear being changed by anyone. And when we fear being changed, we lash out because we don't want to fear. We don't want to be something that we're not in our own minds. I don't want to stop smoking and drinking. That's my identity. Don't try to change my identity. So the shadow element comes out to protect us from this need to change. And the shadow self, it always blames others. That's what happens with the shadow. Whenever bad things happen in our life or bad choices happen in our lives, we don't blame ourselves, because that would bring about a level of awareness. Because if you blame yourself, you'd have to start becoming more conscious of the fact that you're blaming yourself. And this would shift you from unconscious incompetence to conscious incompetence. And then you would start questioning your choices. So rather than do that because we fear the change, we blame others. And that's what the shadow self does. It blames others. And to keep their mind busy, these type of people, they sit on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn. They spend 4 or 5 hours a day watching TV. They drink coffee. They're doing as many things as possible to keep their mind busy so they don't have a stage of awareness that can come in and have to think about or blame themselves. So, you know, when we do this, we are moving away from our awareness because we don't want to be changed. So, when we look at consciousness, consciousness emerges out of unconsciousness, because consciousness becomes more aware of itself at this point. So when someone is unconscious, once you get to such a level of consciousness, there's only one way to go, and it's consciousness. When you're unconscious, there's only one way to go, consciousness. But like I said, that's where people are forced to grow. But when you only have one way to go, which is growth and change, you just go further into denial. So you deny what you know is true. So, you know, that's kind of my summary on, you know, conscious stages of awareness and just understanding what happens with humans today and what they're actually doing. They're trying to prevent themselves from growing. But we as a society have to grow. So, you know, there are a few things that we can do to kind of help us grow to the stage of awareness that we need to be able to participate in better relationships with ourselves, family, and friends. So one of the things that we can do, first of all, is work with what you have and look for what's missing. So when it comes to your own evaluation of whether or not you are doing unconsciously bad habits, the first thing you should do is work with what you have. So whatever your positive traits are, work with those and just make them as strong as possible. And then look for what's missing. What are you not doing? So an example of that would be, let's say you're really good at organization when it comes to office and your home and work. But when it comes to organizing your own me time or your own personal development, that's where you're lacking. So you know you're already good at organizing the external parts of you, but the internal or personal part of you, which is, you know, lifestyle habits or exercise and so on, that's what's missing. So you look for what's missing, such as what we just said, and you start to apply what you've been able to apply in your household to yourself. So that would be an example of work with what you have and look for what's missing. If you're somebody who can work really hard, like you can do 10 hours of work a day without a problem, you're someone that's very proactive and you can do things, but you lack being reactive, which is when you're actually making choices for yourself that aren't actually motivated by an external force, then that's what's missing. So think of ways how you can motivate yourself to actually do things for you because you've already done it in something else. Think of it like this. The way you do anything is the way you should do everything. So if you can be motivated in one thing, that means you have the capacity to be motivated in another thing. So that's looking for what's missing. So that's the first thing you can do. And then after that, you want to establish your core values. So I've said this a lot of other talks, so I'll only summarize it. You know, core values are guiding principles of things that you find important in your life. And you should have core values in life. For when I say life, I'm talking about your lifestyle. So core values and lifestyle. Like how often do I need to exercise? How much water should I drink every single day? How much time should I get out in nature and so on? Those are like life affirmative core values. Then you should have core values for work. How much do I need to get paid? How far am I willing to travel? And so on. Core values in friendships. What sort of friends do I need to keep, and are those friends benefiting me? Core values in personal relationships with a partner, you know, likes and dislikes of the partner. You know, establish these core values. And once you establish core values that are beneficial to your growth, then you're always at a stage of conscious awareness because the choice is always made by the person who wants something positive in their life. So establishing core values is a fantastic thing that you can do to improve your conscious awareness. And then another fantastic thing you can do is eat better food. You probably think, well, how does that change your consciousness? Well, you can't have a healthy brain in a sick body because the brain is the body. So if you start making core values that are life affirmative, have hobbies that are beneficial for you, then you're eating better food. And if you're eating better food, you have a healthy brain because your brain lives in your body. And then the next thing, the final thing I'll say, is the coin drill. The coin drill means you get a coin, and you'll find that a coin has three sides. And the three sides of the coin, with the three sides of the coin, and you're probably thinking, well, a coin doesn't have three sides. Okay, you've got heads, you've got tails, and you've got the middle point of the coin, the point between the heads and tails. So with that coin, one side, you decide which one. One side is positive, choices. One side is negative choices. And the middle point is the potential of your choices. So what you basically do, and the reason why we use a coin is because a coin is a motor action. So it means it takes it out of your mind into a physical reality because you're physically moving something. We call it a mind flip drill. Because sometimes if it's in your head, it stays in your head. But if you pull it into a physical action, it starts to become more real in your mind. So when you get the coin, when you look at the positive, look at any choice in your life that if you flipped it to positive, what would it be? So I'll give you an example. You don't train right now and you would like to do some exercise. So you grab the coin and you flip it to the positive side and you say, I am training 3 times a week if this is what you want to do. I am training 3 times a week for 25 minutes at a time. I feel amazing. I'm moving more. I feel younger. So that's the positive. So you make that positive affirmation and you try to feel it energetically. So, you know, it has to change your state of mind. Don't just say it. Oh, I feel good. I work 25 minutes a day. I feel amazing. You know, really live it. Oh my, I feel amazing. I'm working out 25 minutes a day, 3 days a week. I've changed my functionality. I move better. I feel better. You know, change your state when you feel it. And then turn the coin over to the negative. I don't exercise. I'm still feeling bad. I've still got back pain. My shoulders ache. If I continue on this path for another 10 years, I will feel even worse. And feel what that feels like. And you know, you just feel down, you know. And then the middle point is the potential. What's the potential of each choice? The potential of the negative is it gets worse. The potential of the positive is I feel better. And when you look at the, you know, when you do the potential part, really steer at the middle point and think about the potential of each choice. And then you want to go back to that positive flip. You flip it back to that positive because now you felt what the negative feels like. You want to go back to that positive choice. And you end it with that positive choice feeling great. This coin drill or mind flip drill helps to make you feel emotionally what the choices that you are doing or not doing could feel like. So it's a fantastic, seriously guys, it's a fantastic drill. You can use that for anything, like a job. What happens if you don't change your job that you're depressed about? Feel that negative energy, then flip it over to the positive energy. I'm working for myself. I have freedom, you know, and it kind of stimulates you to want to do whatever it is you're trying to engage your conscious mind to do. So that's a really good drill that I love people to do and I have my clients do as well. You know, and, you know, the soul's greatest addiction is to the illusion of matter, is to the illusion of money, my house, my car, my home. You know, if we move past this illusion and focus on our own awareness of growth, that's more important than anything, because success and successful people will tell you, if you're successful and you don't grow again tomorrow and you don't do something better tomorrow or do something that's engaging tomorrow, you don't feel fulfilled. So it's not about success, it's about fulfillment. And if you feel that you're contributing to your own life and participating in your own life, then you feel a sense of fulfillment. The fulfillment to the fact that you're making choices that you feel are beneficial to you. And you feel proud of the fact that you're making choices that are beneficial to you. You know, you walk high, you walk tall, because even if you're not financially successful, you are moving yourself forwards in your life to the point where you feel, you know what, I'm making better choices every single day. I'm proud of me. And when you do that and know that you are making conscious competence and then finally moving to unconscious competence without even thinking about it, you just do it. You wake up, you just make your smoothie. You wake up, you have this fantastic morning ritual where you spend 20 minutes meditating, or you spend 20 minutes stretching, or you may spend 20 minutes doing breathing exercises, or you spend 20 minutes walking a dog, or go outside, going for a run, or walking in nature, or going for a swim, or having a cold shower, or, you know, spending time with your partner, or spending time with your children, whatever it is, all the things that are beneficial to you, because now you are at an unconscious stage of awareness, doing things that are life affirmative, that allow you to participate in your own growth, vitality, and health. You feel so much better. And I think if the whole world starts to move through these four stages of conscious awareness, you will never get children being beaten by their parents, because, you know, there's a lot of people that are unconsciously doing negative things to their children because they're not even participating in the awareness in the first place. So if we get to this stage of awareness, we start caring about nature, caring about animals, caring about, you know, loving each other, then the world will heal. You know, Mother Nature will care again because she sees that we care. And if we care and Mother Nature cares, and, you know, we love each other enough through our own awareness of making better choices, then we'll never walk past somebody who's broken down. We'll always try to participate in helping others because we participated in helping ourselves. And because we've had the experience of what it feels like to help ourselves, we feel that joy and we want to pass it on to others. So hopefully, guys, we can all make that choice together. I know this was a long one, but I, you know, I had a lot to say. Thanks for your time in listening to this. And yeah, we'll speak again. Stay healthy, happy, whole, in whole being health. Well, guys, that was my podcast on conscious awareness and growth. I know it was quite long. Hope you enjoyed it. And again, look forward to other podcasts that I'm doing. So I'm going to be doing a lot more on conscious awareness. If you guys have questions, you know, you can email me at info@warrenwilliamscoaching.com or warren@warrenwilliamscoaching.com. I love hearing the questions. Feedback, negative, positive, doesn't really matter. It's all growth. And, you know, any subjects you guys would like me to talk about or to go through, nutrition, exercise, spirituality, whatever it is, you know, I'm into all of that sort of stuff. So I'm grateful to the questions. And yeah, I would love to talk about any subject you guys are interested in. Until next time, stay healthy, happy, and whole, in whole being health. Peace.